with the 11th pick of the fourth round, number 110th overall, the Minnesota Vikings select TJ Clemmings, tackle from Pittsburgh.
Go Vikings!
He played extremely well as an offensive tackle at Pitt in games, went to the Senior Bowl, got undressed. Why? Because he's only been an offensive player for 2 years. He's very raw from a technique perspective, so he went from a borderline first-round pick into the middle of the fourth round.
And I just want to say that I saw every bit of what I wanted to see when I saw TJ Clemmings, his highlights and everything else. I study them after they get drafted, and I want to go in and see what kind of Christmas presents we have to move in here. Played 9 years here. I bleed purple. And I saw this guy show up in the fourth round. I don't know how in the hell we got him in the fourth round, but we did.
I remember coming over to your house on Saturday to watch the Manny Pacquiao-Floyd Mayweather fight, and I had this video all ready to go on my phone, and I jumped in and I said, we got TJ Clemmings, and I showed you the video, and the first thing you said was his feet.
Unbelievable.
Wow, his feet. We did a little chest bump. We are excited to have him on the Minnesota Vikings.
We're excited to have him on the air right here at Radioactive Sports. TJ Clemmings, hello, sir.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Doing relatively well. I've got a weight problem. But I'm getting on a diet, and I'm hoping to be able to get it under control within the next year or so.
Okay.
Information.
You asked me how I was doing.
Hey, you got to take care of yourself.
You have to pay attention to everything you put in your damn mouth, apparently, in my case. You're an amazing football player. To come from basketball and then to the defensive side of the ball first. When did you play football? Your first year of football was when?
It was my junior year in high school.
Okay. My yeah. Wow. Yeah. And from that, what most impresses me is you went from defensive line to offensive line in just 2 years, picked up all that offensive playbook, and you're a sponge for technique already as an offensive lineman. I can see it in your feet and your hand placement, everything else. You have picked this up so quickly. I mean, I love having you here.
Yeah, man. It was a bit of a challenge. I mean, you know, but I had help, you know, with my coaching staff, mm-hmm. and playing under Jim Huber at Pitt, and you know, my mentor and technique coach Jay Caldwell. I mean, it wasn't something I was definitely did on my own. I wish I could, you know, take all the credit, but you know, you need help along the way, and I was able to get help from my position coach and Jay, and it was just an amazing ride. You know, it wasn't easy. It was not easy, but. Mm-hmm. You know, looking back, I'm glad everything turned out the way that it did.
But perseverance creates character, and you're full of that, and we're glad to have you on the Minnesota Vikings. We're talking to TJ Clemmings, the fourth-round draft choice, offensive lineman out of Pitt, newest Minnesota Viking. My first question for you is, can you play left guard? Have the Minnesota Vikings talked to you about playing left guard? That seems to be really the only hole on the Vikings' offensive line as we see it right now. Or are you you're pretty set at staying at tackle?
Well, this is the thing. I want to play. So, you know, if Coach Davidson needs me to, you know, slide over there and try it out at left guard. I've never played guard before, so I don't know. But if he needs me to, you know, go over there and try it out and, you know, get a feel for it, I'm definitely going to do that. So it's not an issue to me. It's something I'm open and willing to do. So.
I think that as long as you can put your left hand down on the ground and come out of that left-hand stance, which I think you can. You're a defensive lineman. You've got athletic ability beyond belief. You can see it in every highlight. I watched a whole game of your offensive reel, that is, and you look good on every play, just running down linebackers and then running over linebackers, and just playing and just some of your sets from a wide angle rush. Just a quick set where you just jam them right there at the line. And I was impressed, TJ. For me, it was the most exciting part of the draft. I thought the priority going into the draft for the Minnesota Vikings was to pick up an offensive lineman, a big horse offensive lineman that could man up and give us some relief. The left guard position being vacant and Teddy Bridgewater being so good. We just need him to be protected. You're my guy.
Oh, awesome, man. I mean, hey, you know, I want to come in and help this team and make an impact. And, you know, that's my goal. That's one of my goals. You know, it's funny to me because, you know, I'll be blocking for Teddy now, and, I have a picture It's actually online of when I was playing defense, and I believe he was at Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
And I had switched inside the three to play a three technique, and Aaron Donald had went outside to play defensive end. And, you know, I made a good move off the guard, and I almost sacked. Teddy. And you see the picture where he got away from me at the last second. So, you know, when I get a chance to meet him, he probably doesn't even, you know me or remember me, but, you know, I'm going to show him the picture. And, you know, hopefully he gets a little kick out of it.
That's funny. I'm sure he will. I mean, I'm sure he will. I would pin that up in his locker. And I'd say, Teddy, you got to trust me. I'm on the other side of the ball now. I'm with you. I'm here to protect you now. But yeah, I would pin that up somewhere.
I hope he finds it funny, but, coming in, man, I really want to learn the system, learn the offense, you know, learn my new teammates and, you know, build relationships and really come in and get ready to work and get to work, actually. You know, it's been a long time since, you know, all of us, everybody in the draft has really been able to, you know, put a helmet on and some cleats and, you know, run around and do actual football things. There's been a lot of traveling, a lot of, you know, meeting with coaches, combine, you know, seeing all these different things, man. So now it's time to really, you know, get in and get back to, you know, what we all love to do, which is play football. So I'm excited about that.
I can hear it in your voice. I can tell you love the game of football just by the way you talk. Your foot, we know why you slid down. People get over-precautious, I think, sometimes of past injuries or whatnot. Can you explain what had happened to the foot and why we're so lucky to have you all the way down at four when you should have been probably, somewhere in the first round? But the foot was something against you. Do you want to talk on that?
Well, I mean, you know, the best thing I can say about the foot is that it's not a concern to me. I've never had any issues with it. And, you know, I can't explain everything that goes on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is that, you know, people say I fell all the way down. But I just know I went to the right team. You know, that's how I look at things. Like, you know, so the Vikings wanted to pick me and they wanted me to come on the team. And in my heart, I believe, you know what, TJ, regardless of what round you went, you're at the right team. So, you know, I my foot is not an issue. I'm not concerned about it, and, you know, I'm ready to go.
Talking to TJ Clemmings, the newest Minnesota Viking, taking in the fourth round, plays tackle out of Pitt. The superstar Mike Morris and I were at the office on the patio on Friday before the Twins game last Friday as the second and third rounds were about to start on SportsCenter. And we were talking about who the Minnesota Vikings should take in the second round. If Eric Kendricks was going to be there, I thought the Minnesota Vikings should trade back and grab him in the first round. They ended up grabbing Trey Waynes. It was between Kendricks, Can out of South Carolina, and you. We couldn't believe you were there in the second round. And then so for us to get together on Saturday, the next day, to have you come to the Vikings in the fourth round, we're just absolutely ecstatic to have you. But is it true, and we talk about what kind of athlete you are, that you were recruited by Duke to play basketball and football?
Yes, it is true. I was actually, you know, going through my old college letters with my dad, and Duke was my first college offer that I had for football. And, you know, when you open the letter and you read it, you know, it says, you know, we want you to come to Duke, blah, blah, blah. And it says, you also can play basketball as well. You know?
Wow.
So, I don't even remember how I, you know, took that. But, you know, it's pretty cool to say, you know, listen, I had a scholarship to go play football, and I could have played basketball at Duke as well. But, you know, like I said before, everything works out how it was supposed to. And it's cool to have that in my back pocket and say, you know what, I couldn't play basketball at Duke.
Yeah, no kidding. We were bragging about it all day yesterday. And Matt, I mean, did you ever have a conversation with Coach K down there, the historic Duke basketball program, and obviously to play football, which is what sounds like your true passion, but to be able to maybe even, well, if you were playing basketball, you would have won a national championship with our guy from Apple Valley this year.
You're right, you know, it would have been cool. It would have been cool, but you know, at that point, you know, I knew basketball wasn't going to be my thing anymore, and you know, football was just a new route. So, you know, national championship basketball could have been would have been great, but you know, better things are happening. So, I can't be too mad about that.
I think you chose the right sport, young man. I definitely can see you being around here for a long, long time. The general manager here, Rick Spielman, has had two great draft classes now back-to-back, we feel. And to have you show up in the fourth is just another sort of way of proving how brilliant he can be in the fourth round to have you. And I think it's a great pickup. I'm happy that you're here. And by the way, I know you're going to be a good player because you're going to be wearing my number, 68. So that, I think that I wore that number for 9 years.
Nice.
Yeah, you might want to dust it off. And I've been told that it was banned at one point. So maybe you can have it reinstated in the league. But congratulations. Okay. We love having you here. We want to have you on the show more often. And you're the biggest part of the draft for me. That was the most exciting part, was getting you from Pittsburgh.
Oh, awesome, man. Thank you for having me. And I'm happy to be here, man. I'm happy to be a Minnesota Viking. So
well,
it's awesome.
Thank you, TJ. And wear that number 68 proudly now. You hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Man. Okay.
And get used to saying Skull Vikings, because that's what we do up here. Skull Vikings, let's win the game.
All right.
TJ Clemmings, everyone.
Thank you, TJ.
Unbelievable. You, it's going to be a good...
I want to be that guy's
to
best
team.
Friend.
Yeah, it would be good to have him walking around with
God,
you.
God, I love that guy.
You don't have to worry about it. He's funny. He's sharp. He's a good athlete. My God, he can play football. He can play basketball. He can play D-line. He can play O-line. This is the right guy. This is the right guy. Spielman does good on this.
I want to see him score a touchdown at some point and then slam dunk the basketball over the field goal of the post, just like Jimmy Graham does after he scores.
You know he could.
Of course he could. Of course he can.
So that's fun. When you get a player like that, and they have the personality, and that you can tell what he is, the character is there. You can hear it, you can feel it, coming right through the radio at you. So I am pretty impressed with him. I literally have watched over an hour and a half of just sitting there watching him play. It's worth it. Jim Rich next. He's very much worth it. See what he's got for tomorrow night. He came down. Oh, actually showed up in person. At Tom Reed's, spoke with Ben Holson, myself, and he's one of our favorites. We'll have Jim Rich on to explain where this goes from here for the Minnesota Wild against the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow night in town.
There will not be a lack of motivation. There's no feeling sorry for ourselves right now. It's disappointing where we're at, but we've got one job to do, and that's win a game. And obviously playing on home ice, we want to make sure that we win that game in front of our home crowd, and we want to make sure that we're bringing our best game. That's the only thing we're thinking about right now.
I want to be rich. I want to be rich as Jim Rich.
Jim Rich wears a lot of Randy Myers clothing. I don't know if he wants us to say that or not, but...
Well, he admitted it very openly and very...
Was it on the air yesterday that he
randomly,
said that?
Yeah, he said it yesterday, and he's told us before in the past that he wears
all of his
hand-me-downs from Randy.
And, he's
and
an
so
unbelievable
we're
character.
We're happy for him. But, and also, the hair, impeccable.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes him so qualified... to do TV. He's with Fox 9 and he's on TV right now. So I don't think we're able to get
we'll talk
a hold
to him
of him
here
right
in a minute.
The timing
so,
is kind of an issue with us and Jim Rich, but when he gets done, he'll come out with us and we'll have him. He's on TV because he's a big shot.
Yeah.
But to think that he would want to come on and talk with us after what happened last night over at the Xcel Energy Center. 1-0. It's 3-0 in the series versus the Blackhawks and facing elimination and being swept. Can you even say that? I really thought we would give them a hell of a ride. I thought we'd give the Blackhawks all that they could handle. We did last year.
But don't you think, I mean, game one, the first period was awful as I was switching back and forth between rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. I missed the first 3 goals, but it was popping up on my phone and I was switching back and forth and I thought, oh God, here we go. This is going to be a disaster.
Yep.
And then they came back in the second period and fired off 3 goals of their own. They were right back in it. And so after game one, I thought, wow, okay, well, they can do this. They really can do this. They've lost, I want to say, 7 games in a row, going back the last 3 years at the United Center. They are going to give the Chicago Blackhawks a run for their money. This is a completely different team. You thought that they were going to win the series. We did a little $10 bet. You think that you thought that they were going to rip off four in a row. Now they absolutely have to rip off four in a row for them to go on to round three, which is an awful daunting task. If they do that, they would be the fifth team, only the fifth team in NHL history to be able to come from an 0-3 deficit to win a series and move on.
I'm surprised there's that many. I'm surprised there are five teams that have done that. It seems like it's almost impossible once you get to this level. To be able to reel off four after being down three, I'm telling you, that's a tall task. I don't know. I mean, we've beaten the odds all year round, just all year long. We have stepped up to the plate, and we've battled. So I'm telling you what, if there was ever a time where you were going to go battle, it'd be right now, because it's on now. It's tomorrow night or nothing.
It's do or die for the Minnesota Wild. And all season they've played their best hockey with their backs against the wall. I felt like their backs were against the wall last night. I felt like their backs were against the wall at the beginning, and obviously they responded in the second period of game one when their backs were against the wall. Their backs are against the wall. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They have to win tomorrow night if they want to go back to Chicago and continue the series. I want to watch more playoff hockey. I don't want it to be done tomorrow. I want to watch the game on Saturday, hopefully on NBC, a nationally televised game, a day game in the afternoon, nothing but sunshine. I think it's supposed to be like 50 degrees this weekend, doing some yard work until the Wild game comes on, and then watch the game, and then hopefully go back to Tom Reed's again on Monday for Game 6 at the XL Energy Center.
Right.
I want more hockey.
I do, too. I think we all do.
I feel like I'm being robbed.
Well, I mean, we've played, let's see, I think we've played nine games extra, more than I think a lot of us ever thought we were going to get. We had an extended play of our season. I think just because of Dubnyk, we've been allowed to play nine extra games. Six against the St. Louis Blues, three more against the Chicago Blackhawks. With another one to go tomorrow night, we did get an extended play this year. And I don't know how we did it, quite frankly. We had to play Dubnyk all the way through to get to where we got.
And he's still pretty much lights out. I mean, he let just the five-hole goal go through last night against a very tough Patrick Kane.
I knew he'd be back.
Joined now by Jim Rich from Fox 9. Good to have you, Jim. Lift our spirits, because I feel like the state of hockey is walking around with a heavy heart today.
It truly is, and you know what? I really don't have an answer.
I don't either.
Usually I have like a clue, or, you know, I pick players' minds or coaches, and somebody kind of gives you something that you can run with. I don't know. I really don't know where they turn now, except, and this is kind of moronic, but shoot the puck, please.
Yeah, that, no kidding.
That would be nice.
So true.
You had power plays last night. You had three power plays. You did nothing with them. You had that one in the third period, and you got zero shots on goal. Mm-hmm. 2 whole minutes with the puck. You were in the zone. You were set up, but no one took a shot. So it's like, let's go here, boys.
That's been the Wild's problem, though, really, all year. They've had a lot of
their power play.
But not taking shots on the power play. But not taking not taking a single shot on the power play. It's absolutely ridiculous. And what's going on with Thomas Vanek? I feel like it's almost like he just doesn't even want to be here.
Yeah, he had a rough night last night. That, you know, he showed emotion that one time when he went to the bench. He slammed his stick on the boards, knowing that, you know, he's not helping. Things aren't going right for him. And you know, when it gets into your head, you start thinking that, you know, oh, I should have shot and then I passed, or I should have skated with the puck and said I passed, and that ended up getting messed up. And it really starts to snowball on a guy, especially in these pressure situations. I mean, Vanek knows that all eyes are on him. There was 19,000 people staring at him last night to do something. And, you know, you just sometimes get paralyzed, and it really looked like that's what was going on, because at one time he was standing in the Hawks zone when he took the pass to be offside, and he was standing still. It's like, Thomas, see that big blue line? You got to be on the other side of that, dude.
That's amazing to me that someone of that, well, let's put it this way, for the kind of money you pay someone like Vanek, he's got to know and understand better than that, doesn't he? I mean, he has to be more on his toes than that.
Oh, sure.
I don't understand it. It's so frustrating to me to see someone take what they've got just for granted and to sort of squander what they could be offering up. And I mean, there's nothing worse than a lazy athlete, especially in professional sports. Nothing worse.
you know, and sometimes it's thinking, Mike. I mean, you've seen it on football. Fourth and one, and the other team is not going to go for it, yet your guy jumps offside and gives them a free first down.
Right.
What are you thinking? You know, how do you do that?
Exactly.
And, you know, that's what's going on right now. And, you know, their heads are spinning right now because they're going like, come on, we've got to get a goal. The crowd's imploring them. You know, there's so much pressure on them, so they try to do more. They try to do a little fancier. They're thinking, oh, Crawford's so good, we got to set you up perfect. I'll go backdoor to this guy instead of just taking the shot. Just throw it on net, have it go off the back of somebody's breezers and bounce in the net. I mean, that's basically what it's going to take. Because once they get one, then the pressure is taken off, and you'll see more coming. And that's what it's going to take. Because they played well defensively, although, you know, were they good defensively, or was it Chicago goes, we got our goal. So we'll just hang back and wait to see what happens. If they tie it, then we'll step on the gas again.
Yeah, Jim Rich from Fox 9, I think you're right. You just got to pepper Corey Crawford with shots and lots of them. Matt Dumba, his massive shot. Just get it in front of the net. Hope for a rebound and slam it home. Everybody and their grandma, though, last offseason wanted Thomas Vanek to come in. It was like a comeback home type of deal because even though he's not originally from here, played for the Gophers, he played in the Midwest, the Sioux Falls Stampede, and I believe it's the IHL. USHL, you're right. Signing Thomas Vanek, was that one of the biggest mistakes in the franchise so far? Because it looks awful right now.
Well, I wouldn't say that yet. I mean, we've got two more years of him. He got his 20 goals, which is, you know, what he did the year before. I think he was third on the team in scoring. So, I mean, he does what he does. He's not going to be a Patrick electrify the building and go on rink-long rushes. He's a guy who's got to be put in a position to score. And he's been bounced around line to line trying to find chemistry with him. Sometimes it hits, but then either an injury or something else on the club shuffles the lines again, and then he goes back into a funk. And, you know, this is the kind, everybody said they needed goal scoring. I remember talking to Zach last summer at a charity golf event, and it was before free agency opened. And I was under the impression that the Wild needed another big defenseman to take the pressure off Suter. And he said, nope, we need a goal scorer. We need to ramp up our offense. And so, Fletcher agreed, signed Vanek, and here he is. I mean, I'll go back to the guy I still wanted all along, was Ryan Kesler, who's now with Anaheim and tearing it up, and he is a playoff player. You remember last year with Vanek in the playoffs, he was on Montreal's fourth line because he didn't do anything. Playoffs are a different animal. Maybe he's just a regular season type of player. Maybe that's what it is. The game changes, elevates, and he can't get away with stuff that he gets away with during the regular season. I'm not sure. It's just a thought I threw out there.
I think it's a good thought. I think that someone who gets by with being passive or just casually goes about his profession can maybe get by doing that during the regular season when there are just so many games and, you know, you have a chance to at least stack some decent numbers if you've got one or two things that you do well, which is, you know, taking shots on goal. You got 20 in, as you mentioned, but if it escalates, any player, if you get to a round or a level where it dials up the intensity, it also means speed and effort and intensity. And he does that. Those are none his strong suit. So he looks like a glaring weakness now.
Yeah. You know, and now you have to look at the lines. You know, maybe this is part of the problem offensively. You know, Stewart's gone, so you've had to switch things up. You lost Fontaine earlier in the series, so there's another body, so that's two lines that are now jumbled and new guys trying to find chemistry at this time of the season. So, you know, maybe that's part of it. But I think tomorrow, I mean, you saw when Dumba hit Kane and knocked him into the wall and he laid there like he got shot with a 12-gauge, you know, trying to draw the penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what you have to do. And I know that's not the character of this team. We want to be a finesse. We want to be a smooth-skating, slick hockey team. But you know what? When your back is against the wall, you have to do anything you can. And if you have to become out of character because what you do normally hasn't worked for three games, then you do it. And I think you finish every single check, just like they did last year against Colorado. every time someone moved, there was a response. And, you know, we didn't see that last night. And maybe tomorrow, that's what they'll decide to do.
Amen, brother. Jim Rich from Fox 9. We were talking to Mark Parrish about that yesterday. Just something uncharacteristic, like Thomas Vanek actually checking a guy or doing something to get the momentum going in the way of the Minnesota Wild. Loved having you. Thoroughly enjoyed having you at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub yesterday. We'll be back there tomorrow for tomorrow night's 8:30 face-off, giving away sweet tickets again. Come on down and see us. And would love to have you again if you want to stop by, if you have time.
I will certainly try to make it. Awesome. I mean, I'm still full from that burger that Mike promised me yesterday. Oh, boy, yeah. That thing was
listen,
massive.
Look, there's no room for this. There's no room for this. I don't deserve any of this hassle you're giving me right now.
You know how much I had to pay that rickshaw driver? That killed my budget. I had nothing left for a hot dog at the end. My stomach was grumbling while I was doing post-game interviews. It was very disturbing to everybody.
And embarrassing, I'm sure. You probably hear it on TV. But look, wow. Just put that on your expense.
I embarrass myself almost regularly. It doesn't have to be my stomach growling.
Well, put the rickshaw thing on your expenses and file that. And then you'll get something back, I'm sure. And I'll get you a hamburger tomorrow, for God's sakes. Quit griping.
Yes.
Just let us know when you're coming so
yes.
We can order and have it ready for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know you were going to show up for real.
Well, let's see. 5:15, be there.
Okay.
Or you're pummeled into the ground.
Well,
so
that's the standard. That's the standard issue. The threat.
Correct.
Yes, that's right. You're the best. Come on down tomorrow night. We'll have fun.
I'll try. I'll do it.
All right. Thank you,
nice.
James. We'll watch you on Fox 9.
Thank you.
You're a good
Thank
man.
You.
You're welcome. Hardball with Mike Berardino. There's someone that I really don't want to ask to join us anywhere. And because you know what? Number one, we've already done it.
Well, specifically
and he's
in
right
public.
Down there. Yeah. Well, I don't want to be seen with him. Do you?
No.
He's a prick. Hardball with Mike Berardino.
For the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him leading the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Off the middle, a base hit. Santana was off. He'll gain third base, and he will be held there. Dozier has put the Twins on the board. The tying run 90 feet away.
How exciting. Caller number 15, here's how exciting it could be for you. If you're a caller number 15, 651-989-9105 wins a pair of tickets to see the red hot Minnesota Twins host the Oakland A's tomorrow, Thursday at Target Field. Caller 15, 651-989-9105. Good luck, sissy pants. It doesn't get any better than that.
It does.
Take it easy.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That's right. We will. And Mike Berardino, it does get better because we have Mike Berardino standing
Mike Berardino.
By right now.
Hello.
I don't know. My question for you, and maybe this is a little too personal, maybe between you and your doctor, but I've been wondering if lately you've been taking antidepressant pills because you are just giddy as can be. You're just the kindest, most soft-hearted person alive the
you
last
are.
Couple of weeks.
I was going to add the same thing.
I'm glad you asked that. I raided your collection.
Wow. Well, I have plenty to offer.
What do you mean?
Are you taking
something,
Jax? All day.
I just saw him sitting around there, and I said,
"What were you doing in my house?"
I really don't want to answer that, but
it's
probably best for all of us that we move on.
I think so, and rapidly at that. I want to move on quickly here. Look. Explain this team to me. I don't think we're not supposed to be this good, but we are. And we've got as consistent as we've seen them in the past couple of years, at least for this stretch. Did you expect any of this?
Sure.
Sure you did.
Let's not get too crazy. And they won five in a row. That's certainly doable in any given Major League Baseball season. They're not the story of the game right now, and last night they had their chances to extend that to six games, which they have not done since 2011. They had an 8-game win streak in 2011, but that was a winnable game last night. And Torrey Hunter had a kind of up and down night. Had two hits, two of their four hits off Jesse Chavez, who just shut them down completely as a group. But he also dropped the ball, at the fence and right at the concrete wall, banged his elbow on it. The Billy Butler ball ends up costing him a run in the first. And of course, a strikeout for Torrey when he just needed to loft a fly ball in the eighth. But that was a tough loss.
Hardball with Mike Berardino, talking Twins baseball, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins never tasted this refreshing. My question for you, why is it, Trevor May doesn't, I mean, when he pitches, he looks like he's been doing pretty well. He was an out away from having a quality start last night. Why can't he go any further, really, it seems like, than the fifth or sixth inning?
Well, don't forget, you know, he took an elbow, a line drive off his elbow out in Seattle in his homecoming. That was a short outing for him. Mulder, I think, was a little quick with pulling him in his first start back in the home opener. And last night was probably the right time. I think that was the right time to pull him. He was right at 100 pitches. Brian Dunsing was ready. There was May had just walked Stephen Vogt, who's been a very hot hitter. He gave him a chance to get him. He walked him. And Mulder went to the left-hander. Dunsing did not perform last night. He had stranded all seven runners that he had inherited this year. It's a huge part of a job for a reliever, especially the way they use Dunsing. He can pitch to righties and lefties, and he can handle jams. But last night, I gave up four hits to the first six batters he faced, and Mulder said, you know, just didn't have it against righties, especially last night, but they'll run him back out there. But he's Brian Dunsing, and he's very reliable overall. But Trevor May has been solid. He has a third-best ERA along this current rotation, and I think he's trending upward. That was a good outing for him last night. It just wasn't, you know, the seven or eight innings you're looking for, and I think he has that in him.
Yeah, no, I absolutely do, too. That's why I would just like to see him go just a little bit longer, because he was pitching pretty well yesterday. Mike Berardino, Hardball, every day at this time, talking Twins baseball, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Game tonight, 7:10, another game against the Oakland A's. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Be good, Michael. We've got a little break. Mike's break.
It's better be good.
We're going to come back.
It's better be real good.
Play a little, we got a little something. Oh, gosh.
I already have something picked.
Marilyn Manson?
No.
Rob Zombie?
Nope.
Ministry?
Nope.
Whatever you got. We're going to talk about Gronk. You seen this thing on Gronk? Yeah, he's got a response to Deflategate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. We got a lot of Deflategate going on at the end of the show as well, but... one of Mike's breaks. How better could you spend that than with a Gronk? Next.
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat.
So true. I mean, all you kids out there listening, just remember and understand that it's just really tough to make it in professional sports unless you know how to manipulate the system and play the system and tinker with the footballs. And it's a tough thing to do. So if you want to make a lot of money and marry a beautiful supermodel, learn to cheat.
Don't you remember growing up in America, the American dream, anything's possible? Even you could be president of the United States.
That's right.
Good luck being a radio host. I mean, that's the lowest of the barrel.
This is this far exceeds my potential or my expectations for myself, which have been extremely low. But, you know, it's really amazing to me that even when I'm at one of my low spots in my day or in my week, I can find a little highlight. A vintage highlight of Rob Gronkowski.
I love
Gronk.
That guy. I really do.
And you know, the Deflategate story has gotten a lot of mileage. Today, a lot of things have come out due to the Wells investigation, the Wells report. And we have come to find out there are a couple goofballs that Tom Brady's been paying off by either shoes, sweats, money, whatever the case. I guess for weeks, the way it sounds on the text.
Not weeks.
It sounds like
months.
Weeks meaning months, meaning years,
months,
maybe, perhaps.
Maybe years, yeah. But definitely months. At least
regardless
months.
Of that, these are his boys. These two goons that
but
are on
the goons
on texting.
Hate him.
Of course they do, because
they
he's a stickler. He's a control freak. They're not done right. He's asking him to cheat, and they're not doing it well enough for him. So he gets mad because They either underinflate them to a point where the officials can tell that they're way too low, and the officials bring the balls up to like 15, 16, yeah, Brady swears, and then the guys get mad. It's stressful, and Brady says to one of these goons, this thing seems to be getting a little stressful for goon number two. And apparently it was, because it was driving him crazy. He was like, the next one's going to be a rugby ball. I'm going to make it so big. The next one's going to be a balloon. The next one's going to be a watermelon. I guess he got on their nerves. How bad do you have to be at this where you are the man? Tom Brady, three Super Bowls under your belt, going for the fourth one, and you have to pay these guys off, and you're such a jackass to do that and to do it right. You want him to cheat perfectly for you.
Well, not only is he a cheater, now he's a liar, too, because he lied in the press conference. He lied, bold-faced lied to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick not very happy.
I'm sure.
There's a pretty good chance that Tom Brady's going to get some sort of suspension or penalty from the NFL.
I would think so.
Supposedly, according to this Wells investigation and the report that came out today, Bill Belichick is scot-free. When everybody was pointing fingers at Bill Belichick because of his track record with Spygate, and he's done things that have been shady. I mean, any possible thing he can do to gain the upper edge and win, Bill Belichick will do it. But according to this report, he's scot-free. He had nothing to do with the deflated balls. And all the bullseye of this report points right at Tom Brady. Right at him.
Of course. We all know what happened. It happened in the Indianapolis Colt. Was it the quarterfinal or the final? Or the semifinal?
It was the AFC championship game was when it really happened. But I want to say back in October, they played the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. And the Indianapolis Colts, the equipment manager, or the safety, I want to say, intercepted a ball and then took it to the equipment manager and said, this doesn't seem right. And they did some investigating of themselves, and they kind of tipped the NFL off to it. Why the NFL didn't nip it right in the bud right then and there and they kind of let it fester a little bit, then the Indianapolis Colts said, okay, we're playing him in the AFC championship game here. They intercepted a pass. Again, one of the linebackers, something Jackson, I can't remember his name. He played for the Cleveland Browns. I wanted the Minnesota Vikings to take him, but he intercepted a pass, took it over to his equipment manager, and again, it was deflated, and they did some testing. The referees did some testing and had to put all 12 new balls back into the game at halftime. And then Deflategate obviously came about after the game. The next Monday, he was asked about it on a radio station in Boston, and he said, that's ridiculous. It's DeQuell Jackson, by the way. Thank you, David. DeQuell Jackson, former Cleveland Brown, that intercepted the pass in the AFC championship game. But it exploded on Monday. Remember, we were playing the audio of, I think it was WEEI in Boston, asking him, what about this stuff? And Tom Brady's like, oh, come on. They're always going to try and go after the champion because we're always, we win all the games. Everybody's always trying to come and get us. And he was constantly deflecting. When the Wells report asked him for his phone records and to sit down and really be interviewed and all this stuff, and he was always saying no. Constantly saying, obstructing justice, really. I mean, it's not the real justice. It's the NFL. It's not the real law. But imagine what they would have found if they could have gotten his phone records, because they did tap into these two, McNally and Yastrzemski's phone records, and the text messages back and forth about Tom Brady and the deflating or inflating of the balls are just ridiculous.
It's all right there. It's all right there. And Brady's at the very top. He's the apex. He's the one that wants it done that way. He's the one that's getting the footballs and throwing the footballs. So it was definitely, the coach doesn't tell you to do that. Oh. It was him.
Yeah.
Now, for him to deny and deny and deny like he did, I think if I were him, after it got started, I think I would have said, look, I like him as low as I can deflate them for at least my personal satisfaction, and then just go with that and say, well, look, I can't help that they were underinflated more so than they should have been, but I like them at the very lowest level, which is what, like 12
to 14 PSI is the acceptable PSI range for the NFL.
So, and to tell you the truth, I can't imagine snapping a ball that's underinflated. Just to snap one, I would have never wanted a ball underinflated. Not that it's that necessary for a long snapper, but it was. And for a quarterback, I would think, man, you just want the ball to feel the exact same way. And if you have to have it underinflated, who's doing that for you? Are they set exactly the same every week? I know if a ball is inflated properly, it's going to feel the same way to me every time.
Yeah.
But anyway, punishment could be delved out pretty quickly. Yeah. I've been told, I'm looking at Bleacher Report, and it's saying it could be pretty quick. And by the way, the
don't you think the NFL wants to nip this in the bud? I mean,
they let it fester
all offseason through the NFL, the Super Bowl.
And the draft. They wanted to get past the draft. They want to get past their big party and then start in on some of the negative stuff again, because the NFL is trying to hide from the negatives. They've had far too many and big ones. So
I would
never do anything
illegal, according to Tom Brady. That's what he said.
Of course
I would never do anything to break the rules, he said.
No. They're underinflated. That's against the rules, Tom. Gronk, when he was asked by two female reporters as he was walking down the street, they said, Rob Gronkowski, they're yelling at him, you spent the whole weekend with Tom Brady, which he did. He was the Kentucky Derby with him and Edelman and the other small receiver, the tiny guy. I don't know what his name is. They got him from the Dallas Cowboys.
Amendola.
And he then went to the fight. Brady went to the fight with all those guys.
Interesting, because when we saw Brady walk into the Manny Pacquiao-Floyd Mayweather fight, he was all by himself.
Yeah. Well, that's because they had to sit upstairs, and he had ringsides.
Oh, my God.
So it's always about team unless, I'm going to pay a little extra for a seat down low there. But Gronkowski was asked that, and he didn't say a single word. He just shows the two female reporters his biceps. He just flexes and doesn't say a word.
He
keeps walking.
Love him.
Gronkowski, Mr. Feelgood. He makes everyone just
wonder
why or how it's even possible for that guy to exist in the NFL.
He's so funny. He works out 6 hours a day. His body is a wonderland, as John Mayer would say.
It's a wonderland?
Well, I mean, but look at his body. He works out 6 hours a day. The man is absolutely ripped. He's always taking his shirts off, always drinking, always in Las Vegas, partying with the hottest of women, doing this and doing that. But he's like Johnny Manziel, but he's unlike Johnny Manziel, because he's not going around going, I'm the greatest, look at me, this is what I do, I'm the reason the Patriots win, and money signs and this and that. He's just so goofy. Just a goofball.
Well, yeah, he's a slap nut.
Hilarious. I love him.
He's a weird guy. Here's another
weird guy.
Well, I mean, we all are, I think. You know, in sports, I think we're all kind of wacky. Here's another one, Brandon Warren.
Oh, God.
Another wacky guy. Here's how wacky he is. Writes for Cold Omaha. He's one of the writers here at 105 The Ticket, but he tried to charge his phone, got it charged up. He decides he's going to unplug it from the wall. He bends over, smacks his head on a shelf, and knocks himself out. There you go. Well, that's who's next. Brandon Warren. He's on to tell you about what a nice surprise it is to have Trevor May on the squad. Next.